Yep, so it's been a bit of a minute since recording the last podcast. I think it's actually been almost 2 months, which, you know, that's on me, but things have gotten busy, and I promise we're going to recap every single bit of it right here. If you would have told me what this year would have looked like a month into the season or 2 months into the season, depending on how you want to look at it, if you'd have told me that we would have seen the things happen that we've seen happen, I would have probably asked you to just, you know, shut your mouth and would have followed up with a no way, especially after the performances we had this past weekend. But it's been a bit of an interesting start to the year. So let's talk about it. Let's dive in. Let's track the Trojans. So the last time we chatted, we were only a few days away from the athletes showing up on campus, as well as us getting the time trial underway and heading off to camp, which was quite some time ago. I think that date was around August 11th, August 10th. It was a while ago. It is now October 3rd. So apologies on not getting anything out sooner. We have been, just as a staff, super busy getting everything ready for this year, recruiting, getting all our travel things set up, and looking forward to next year as well. So lots going on. And then, as we're going to talk about in this episode, lots of things for us to juggle along the way as well. So let's just go back into that time in mid-August. Time trial went great. We were real excited with the results we saw from both the men and the women. Definitely could tell the mileage on the guys' end. You know, many of the guys up at around 100 miles throughout a lot of the summer was paying off, as well as some of our women getting the opportunity to have a lot more of a consistent summer, avoiding injury, coming off of good springs. So it was just a really good results that we saw from our women and the men. Really excited to see who they were going to be. There were a couple people that weren't able to participate that particular day in the time trial. Christian Garcia was coming off of having COVID, so he was still in his protocol. And then a couple others were still waiting on some sickle cell tests. We'd like to thank the NCAA for that little fun one this year of making sure everyone gets their sickle cell test done, which I guess obviously it's all in the name of health. So can't complain too much, but it kept a few people out of the time trial. Camp was fantastic. We ran a lot. We sweated a lot and spent some time on a river. I think ultimately we were able to really connect. You know, we obviously have... We had six new people jumping into the group this year, so it's great to have that time to graft them in, and it's also great for us as coaches to have that time to sit down and just hear where our athletes have been throughout the summer, anything they've been going through, how training's been going, what their goals are for the year, and, you know, talking about their future for those that are looking at using COVID eligibility or graduating this year. And I think we had those conversations. They all went really well. Probably the most interesting story from camp was our attempt to leave camp on the final day. The way it kind of worked, there was no one big breakfast buffet, but there was like a little cafe where you could get biscuits and muffins and those kinds of things. And we bought it, you know, every three or four athletes, we'd swipe the credit card. And then one group of athletes went to get their breakfast, and the card was no longer working. Well, it turns out the card that we got in the middle of the summer was a temporary card because our bank had run out of plastic or something to that effect. And while I was on the road, my new card came in and the university canceled the one that I had with me and said, hey, you can swing by and pick up your new card at your convenience. Well, our convenience was not in that moment for sure. And we were suddenly at Mammoth Caves in Kentucky, needing to pay the final bit of our hotel bill, as well as for breakfast, as well as gas to get back. So after some creative means, such as taking pictures of the new card and having numbers hand-typed in, we were able to take care of breakfast. We were able to take care of the hotel. And thankfully, Todd Welch came through, fantastic servant to the athletic department here at Trevecca, came through and met us in Southern Kentucky so that we could buy gas and get home. So I think ultimately, if that's the most eventful thing that happens on a road trip, that's not too bad. But we came back to campus all set on, honestly, continuing a little more of our base building because we were still quite a ways away, over a month away from our first meet, and really almost a month and a half away from our first kind of really big test, which was this past weekend. So we really kind of set our sights on doing a lot of strength work. Laura was now here and on staff, and so working on mobility and strength with the team, which has been fantastic for them. But creating that rhythm, as well as just getting more miles in, doing a lot of hill work. And at the end of the day, we're trying to prepare for Wisconsin Parkside, and it's going to be a little hilly there, so we want our group ready for that. But everything progressing well, dealing with kind of standard soreness, adjustment from shoes and mileage. Do have a couple people on the women's side that are fighting through some injuries that we hope are going to clarify themselves up here in the next couple weeks. But, you know, just progressing through those early season days. And we were real excited heading into our first meet, which we, as we discussed on here, we'd renamed the Michael Pretorius Invitational. Once again, this meet in the future will 100% take all proceeds and give them towards a designated cancer foundation or charity of the Pretorius family's choice, potentially even one day his own foundation. And so we were excited heading into that. And we were on the Monday before the meet, I think it was September 12th. That's right, because I think the 11th this year fell on a Sunday. And it's definitely one of those moments that is going to stick out in my mind for the rest of my career. It's a moment as a coach that you know could happen, and you just hope it never does. But I got to practice out at Percy Warner, out at our home course, like I normally do a little early, getting a little run in. And as I was getting close to wrapping up, one of our guys who was there early kind of ran me down and said that a couple of our athletes, Abby Faggett and Samantha Rosenkrantz, had been in a car wreck. And of course, my first thought was, well, are they okay? Is it bad? And Jordan, who's the one who told me, said, yeah, no, I think it's bad. I said, okay, well, man, and then a couple other athletes came up, and one of them stated that, you know, they were, that it looked bad, that the cars looked bad, but they thought everybody might be okay because a lot of people had kind of gathered to the side of the road, and they thought that they saw the people that were in the car, thought they saw Abby and Samantha. And I initially just thought, I said, hey, everybody, well, okay, if they're okay, they're going to work this out. Let's not go down there. We don't need to crowd the scene. Let's just move towards practice, and Abby and them will get things straightened out. And I even had an athlete call me and said, hey, you know, they've been in a wreck. And I said, well, from what I've been told, everything will be okay. So let's just come on down. Let's give them their space. And then at that point, my assistant, Brooke, had called me as well, was calling me to inform me that no, it was a really bad wreck and that I needed to get down there right away. So, of course, got in the car, and she wasn't kidding. Abby and Samantha, through the circumstances of the crash, had ended up crossing traffic and having a head-on collision with another vehicle, and definitely weren't doing super hot when they left the scene. And even worse than having two athletes in this wreck, or to make things even worse, most of the team were some of the first people there to try and render aid to Abby and Samantha. And one of our athletes watched the whole wreck happen right in front of them. So obviously very shaken up. Both girls were taken to the hospital on stretchers, and Abby left. She was unconscious. So a lot of very scared people, athletes, myself, trying to go through, you know, contacting parents and those kinds of things, contacting the university. And before I go any further, since we're discussing the university and those athletes, I cannot speak more highly of our group of young men and women wanting to know how to help Abby and Samantha right away, wanting to know what they could do. And then at the same time, the university stepping in to immediately make sure our athletes had access to counseling, trauma counseling. I mean, they had witnessed a trauma. Even if they didn't witness the wreck, seeing their teammates and their friends in that state is traumatic. And the school was by their side. The school was by the family side throughout, providing places to stay for both the Baggetts and the Rosenkrantzes following the wreck and the subsequent hospital stay for the girls. I just cannot speak to the community of people that gathered around this team and that gathered around the families of the girls. Brooke and I made our way to the hospital pretty quickly and, you know, did that whole what's going on in the ER thing for a while. And, you know, by the end of the day, Abby had some brain injuries and it was kind of, let's wait and see what happens. And Samantha had some internal things going on that needed work. And so, the doctors and surgeons got right to work on that. But, you know, for Brooke and I, the night ended at the hospital at about 3:30 after we got a chance to see Samantha. She came out of one of her surgeries and true to form, Samantha started cracking jokes. She apologized for being late. She'd had a little hip niggle. She said, you know, hey, I guess we're not gonna have to worry about my hip right now, are we? So it was really good, I think, for us to see her in that moment. And at least get to talk to her at the end of the day. And obviously we didn't get a chance to see Abby, but you know, we were hoping for the best and recovery while they were there at Vanderbilt. And the next day was really emotional for everyone. There was chapel on campus. We were all there together as a team. Just a lot of scared folks, a lot of people wanting to put on the brave faces and knowing they should trust for healing. But it was tough for our group as well. And we felt the best move was to be as available to the athletes as we could all day on campus. And then at the end of the day, you know, we had some of us ran at Shelby Bottoms. Brooke and I were both out there. We invited whichever athletes could make it to come out or whoever felt like it to come out. And then additionally, that night felt it best that we meet as a team and just have a dinner. Just go out to eat and enjoy food and enjoy each other. And we got that opportunity. We went out, ate Mexican, and just had a time of just being together, which I think was great for our group. It was a good time to just be around one another and not necessarily have to focus on what had happened the day before, which was really good for our group. The following day, Brooke and I did get a chance to head to the hospital. We got to see Samantha again, who was beginning her recovery, and I got to briefly see Abby, and you know, seeing her in that moment was really hopeful to see some change, and just knew she really did have a long way to go. But by the next morning, we were getting news from her mom that she was alert. She was communicating with people. She knew who everybody was. She was hungry. Her appetite had come back. So very exciting to have heard that. And, you know, we really began to see God's grace on their lives and their healing starting to come out. And once again, just during this whole time, people pouring into and loving on the families as well as our athletes as well. We had teams from across the U.S. reaching out to us, telling us they were praying for the girls. Coaches were reaching out to me, asking how people were doing. It's no lie that the running community is worldwide. We're all there for each other. When these kinds of things happen, it's amazing to see the outpouring of support like what we saw. Alongside all this going on, we have a meet that we are planning to host this Saturday. It was going to be a no-brainer if we had planned to go out of town. You know, one of the races we looked at was the Rhodes Invitational. We would not have traveled that weekend. We would not have raced. But at the same time, we were hosting a meet this weekend with not a huge meet, but still a couple teams coming from out of town. And at the end of the day, this is a race to honor Michael Pretorius and his life and his impact, which was a life of having strength, hope, and faith in the face of what seemed like insurmountable odds. And so the juxtaposition of who we were trying to honor, along with the fact we had two athletes in the hospital, was something that myself and the staff, you know, had to kind of weigh. And at the end of the day, we spoke with the Rosencrantz family, we spoke with the Baggetts, and even with Samantha and Abby themselves, even after we had decided to host the meet. Everybody was leaning towards we should have the meet. And one of the jokes I made with everybody is if Samantha had asked me how the meet went and I said we canceled it, she'd look at me and say, "Selby, that's so dumb." And she would have. And she may have been right. So we decided to move forward and host the meet and put it on. And I was even able to speak with Amanda Pretorius as well and kind of let her know what was going on. Who was obviously, she was very concerned for the girls. And what was great was the morning of the meet when their family came out, they had signs supporting all the runners, but also signs wishing Samantha and Abby a speedy recovery. So that was fantastic. And sure enough, we got the team back on the horse, kind of. We had a practice on Wednesday afternoon. I even jumped in it, which I don't know why I haven't jumped in a workout in forever. And, you know, I definitely paid the price for a couple of days afterwards, but I felt like the right thing to do to just jump in with the team and just work out a little bit. So that was fun. And that Saturday morning, I mean, the weather was fantastic. The course is in great shape. It hasn't rained here in seemingly like a month. And I don't think we're getting more rain for another month. But it was just great conditions for a race, which it's always, you know, mid-September, it could be 1,000 degrees, and thankfully it was not. And we had a great turnout from supporters. I mean, anytime you're racing against Lipscomb, especially here in Nashville, they're going to bring a lot of people. And so we had a ton of people from there, a ton of people from Trevecca, definitely a lot of support from the Kentucky Wesleyan group and the University of the South / Swanee group. It's a small meet running in the women's race. We had 5 full teams. We had Lipscomb, Kentucky Wesleyan, Swanee / University of the South, us, Trevecca, and Agnes Scott, a small school out of North Georgia. And that was actually the finishing order. Lipscomb came out. I mean, they are a phenomenal Division I school under a great coach. And they came out and like swept the top 10 almost. Actually, I think they swept the top 12. The only people that busted that up a little bit were some unattached runners from either Belmont or Lipscomb. And then the winner of the race, who was alumni Caroline Cole, who while she was racing here, Caroline Hampton, who is in preparation for a half marathon attempt the next weekend and then as well as a full marathon in December, but absolutely crushed the course, ran 17:47, which I think, I don't know how much faster that was than she ever ran it in college. I think she was like 18:20s. But that time was phenomenal. She just got out there and crushed it. But Trevecca women had a good day as well to get things rolling. It was good to see Samantha Roberts back out on a cross-country course. After a year off, she came in with a time of 20:52, finishing 22nd. So happy with how she got started. Maddie Farrell was second on the team, running her first collegiate cross-country race in a time of 21:41. And then we had a trio in 33rd, 34th, and 35th of Catherine Williams running a time of 21:59, Bailey Morrow, 22:19. This was actually her first collegiate anything after coming in last year, kind of already nursing a hip issue that ended up leading to surgery. So excited to see Bailey come out. And then Emmy Mattingly also coming off of injury. She didn't get to run outdoor with a time of 22:23. And that ultimately is all we raced. We raced 5 women. Obviously, Abby and Samantha were not racing this weekend, but we had other injuries and issues we were working through with Ruth Penny and Kendall and Hope and Jessica all sitting this weekend out, which, you know, early season, we want to be smart and, you know, it's the right decision for that group. Men's race was even smaller. We had 4 full teams in Lipscomb, us, Trevecca, University of the South / Swanee, and Kentucky Wesleyan, and that was once again the order. Lipscomb came out, ran purposed progression throughout the race. At one point, we were winning, which was always fun to say, hey, we're beating a Division I team, but they obviously had a game plan. They came on strong in the back of the race. Leading the way in PRing was Cam Warner, finishing 5th, scoring 4 points because the winner, once again, was an unattached athlete as well. But Cam set a PR running a time of 26:15. Hamza was our number 2 with a time of 26:46, with Jordan directly behind him in 26:47, which you'll find out why that's funny when we talk about this past weekend. Next for us at Trevecca was Matthew Brunner running a time of 28:11. Then behind him was Shane West with a time of 28:59, which was a PR for him as well. Christian Garcia running a time of 29:03 was next. John Alsop with a PR of 30:06 and making his debut back, the third-year freshman, Drew Randolph, with a time of 31:51. And then rounding us out was Isaac Levy, freshman, with a time of 32:18. We did not run Ben, working through some issues with him on that week with injuries as well. So, you know, I think that was a great week for us. Everybody got out there and competed. Jordan led the race for a bit. Cam led the race for a bit. But like I said, Lipscomb moved up as a pack. It was very evident that they had a very specific game plan. They ran well and won the meet. So congratulations to them. It was a fantastic morning. It was really good to have the Pretorius family out there with us. And I think it was good for everybody for us to get out there and run the meet after the week that we had been through. Everybody was tired. Everybody's nerves were frayed. But to just get out there and to rip and to race, I think was probably the best thing that we possibly could have done. And I think the families of the girls as well felt the same way. And even that morning, it was great to have coaches asking how everybody was doing. But then, to additionally, Lipscomb's women's team gave the girls cards with gift cards in them. I mean, I'm telling you, you can't beat the running community. It doesn't get better. So that week wrapped up kind of in a lot better way than it had started out, and we were very, very grateful for that. So moving out of that race, we had 2 weeks of training to start working through. We were also trading out time visiting the girls in the hospital who did get out last, I think it was last Thursday, let me see. It was the Thursday and Friday about a week or so ago. And it was so exciting that they got to go home. I remember getting the texts from their parents, from them, that they're busting out, they're heading home, and they were so excited. You know, they were both at that point just ready to be out of the hospital. Hospitals are zero fun. They had both been in the ICU for most of the time, so that's even less fun. So we're super excited for them to head out. There are the bummers of it all, you know, obviously injuries, but them having to withdraw for the semester to go home and heal up. Of course, we miss them a ton. And I think the plan is for them both to be back in January, and we're hoping that their recovery continues to go well. I know that these two are gonna work every bit of their physical therapy and make sure that they're back here on campus in the spring with their friends and teammates doing the college thing again. So we're just excited to see that they're on the road to recovery and healing. During that time, we began to look forward to what we found out is Live in the Lou Classic, which when we saw it, we thought it was Live in the Lou. Like, hey, it's a big live cross-country race because it's happening. You're going to be there. You know, you get my drift. Well, apparently it's Live in the Lou, which is weird, but okay, whatever. We thank them for helping put on this big race, but we began to get ready for that. Now, we haven't been there in about 6 years, and for various reasons. We like supporting the Lewis crossover event up in Chicago, and sometimes, you know, it's the week after our home meet, so we don't want to race 3 straight weeks in a row. But they kind of gave me a reason to not be super hot about going there all the time, despite our result being good. There are 3 levels of race. There's a gold race, a blue race, and a silver race. Now, the silver race is actually the bottom of the rung, gold race top, blue in the middle. I don't know why they do it that way. That's just what they do. We really felt we should be in the blue race. Teams like Findlay, Tiff, and Hillsdale were all in that race. Teams from our conference, Ohio Dominican, teams that we felt we should be racing. We should have been with them in that race. We found out the week of the meet that we were going to be in the silver race, which is, for lack of a better term, the quote slow race. And it's considered the slow race because, I mean, technically the times are faster in those first couple races. After stewing over it for a little bit, you know, I ended up telling our men, and we also talked about it, you know, with the women as well, but especially with the men, we're like, look, you might feel like you belong in this other race. We've been putting this other one. Let's just compete. Let's just go out and rip it. Let's go out and we will race to the times. If we are trying to beat other people, which this is the essence of cross country, and there is so much going on at this point with people obsessing over these low times, and let's go to these fast courses. Yes, Louisville is a fast course. In 3 weeks when we go to John C. Hunt, we will be racing a fast course. But there is just this obsession with times. And I've told our group, if we will just go and race, just go and beat people, the times will come. And we talked about it Friday night before the race. Get out there and compete. And I told them, if you can't finish in the top 10, you have no business being in that other race that we want to be in. So let's get out there and race and compete. And Brooke was passing on the same thing to the women as well. Get out there and beat people. Get out there and race. Be aggressive. Get out there and run a smart race that has you beating people. And that was kind of the way that we went into Saturday. Now, I would be remiss if I don't mention the fact that we are beginning to plan a team Dungeons & Dragons campaign. We spent most of Friday evening trying to set up characters and talking through how it works. We are excited about it, and trust me, there will probably be dedicated podcast time in the future to discussing those D&D moments that we may or may not have. But let's jump into the racing. Let's start with the women, mainly because their results are up first on the results reporting page. Excuse me. The women finished 22nd out of 40 teams, which is fantastic. I think they competed and ran an excellent race. By the time they were the last college race to run, and it was just a hot, dusty mess. So by the time they ran, it was just dry and dusty. Louisville hasn't had rain in forever either, but the women still went out there and competed well. Sammy Roberts led the way with a season best of 20:29 on the 5K course, with Maddie Farrell only 11 seconds behind her, so only about 20 places. That's a close spread. You love to see that. Ruth Penny was back to racing once again. She set out the outdoor season this past spring, so it's good to see her back out there. She went out really aggressively, ended up running a 21:41. Only 2 seconds behind her was Bailey Morrow with a massive PR. Maddie's time also was a massive PR. Catherine Williams was our fifth with a time of 21:48. Emmy Mattingly had a good day as well with 22:14, and Jessica Bishop was back to racing and had a time of 26:56, dealing with a little knee issue, which hopefully we've switched her shoes out. I think that's going to help us out a little bit. But real excited with how they ran and got there and competed. Just once again, it was dry and dusty. I know they weren't a super fan of that. Loved how they raced, though. Bailey Morrow just knocked it out of the park, and I was there to see her start her kick in. She was like trucking. She was not trucking people over because that'd be illegal, but she was having to bob and weave to get through the crowds because she was just crushing her finish. So super excited to see where she's at coming off of injury, and I know that she is really excited to have been able to race the last couple weekends and get those opportunities. The men actually raced first, and well, it was a bit of a day. Like I said, we discussed being aggressive and competing, and we did that. Cam led the way for the men with a time of 25:15 for fifth place overall. He was in second for 80-90% of the race, and there were times, we both talked about this, where we saw the guy in first, who probably about 8 or 9 seconds on him through most of the race. We thought he was faltering. We thought he was slowing down. He, of course, wasn't. And Cam wasn't caught until probably the final 600 meters of the race. So he put in a really good one. And we just thought, I thought, man, he's going to end up pulling out the win. But not far behind him, Hamza Abu Hashima ran a 25:45, a minute PR for him. Granted, Cam's PR was by a minute as well. And directly, practically beside him was Jordan Halliday with a time of 25:46. Another huge PR for him. Now, I had told the three of them, I said, you guys, we've got to all be under 26. Every single one of you on this course, if you compete, you will race sub 26. And they did. They crushed it. We kind of had several sets of the way that we wanted to see everybody run. We wanted to have the first three under 26, the next three under 27, which I get was a big ask. It was a freshman and two people whose PRs were in the mid to upper 28s. Matthew Brunner, freshman, was our number four with a time of 27:01.5. He almost did it, but it was a huge PR for him coming off the previous week. And exactly, he competed. He ran hard. He stuck his nose in it. Behind him for our number five was Shane West with a time of 27:47, a minute and 10 second PR for him as well. Not far behind him was Christian Garcia with a time of 27:56, another minute plus PR for him as well. Our seventh was John Alsop with a time of 29:30, which for him was another massive PR by about 30 seconds as well. So our top seven together came together for an average time of 26:19. Now I'll discuss the significance of that in a second. Before, real quick, going to give you guys the results for Drew Randolph as well as Isaac Levy. Drew was our number eight with a massive PR himself. Got to scroll a long way for these. If you've never dug for track and field results, sometimes it's just annoying. Drew with a huge PR of 30:03. And then rounding us out was Isaac Levy with a time of 31:09. Both of those guys taking a minute to a minute and a half off their PRs slash the previous week. Really excited. I can't be more excited to see Drew racing and Drew just lopping times off his PR. And then also excited to see Isaac Levy coming along. It's going to be great to watch both Drew's journey back as he comes back to health and Isaac's journey in college as he learns this 8K distance. Big weekend from those guys. But that 26:19 average team time, you know, I started thinking, I was like, I think that might be our fastest average. And I did some digging, and sure enough, the last time that we ran Louisville, we had a team average of 26:20, which until the other day was the fastest team average. That 26:19 is the fastest we've ever had it's the top seven, really, is the fastest that we've ever had anybody, any group of our people run in a singular meet. Having Cam, Hamza, and Jordan under 26, never had that happen before. We've had two under 26. We have Ben and Logan at times back in the day, but we've never put three people under there in any one meet. So that was huge. This effort put the men in 7th out of 44 teams. A massive, massive effort. And we were only a couple seconds, three points out of 6th. So it was a huge day. We beat several D2 teams, a couple D1 sprinkled in there. It was truly a great competitive day. Really proud of how the guys ran. And I think this really sets us up as we move forward. What is moving forward? This Friday, we race at the Brescia Invitational. Race is a strong word. I think we're all on the fence about what we want to do at this meet. We want to go out and go for a win. Do we want to go out and just work out like we typically do at this race? We'll see. We don't officially have that plan concocted yet. But what I do know is we have a ton of momentum as we move to this portion of the season. We still have a ways to go. We still have a month till conference and a month and a half until we get to the regional meet up in Wisconsin. And this group has been through so much already and have really come together and are really buying into doing the hard work. And I think we're going to see some incredible things as we move throughout the rest of the season. So we move forward, we continue to work out, we have visits coming through all the time, recruiting's going strong. Hopefully the next podcast will be the day after, but it is a little different than track. I don't have like 30 events to get through and 50, 60 athletes, which it will be about 50 athletes this year, which is exciting. So a one-off cross-country podcast, I'm discovering, will probably be a little short, so we might wait till after Alabama to do the next one. Hopefully we have no extra things going on that we need to discuss. Hopefully we have a pretty normal next 2 or 3 weeks. Really proud of the team. I think we've got some great things ahead of us. Really hoping all of you will join along with us as we continue throughout the season. You'll give things a listen. You'll follow the journey of these athletes. We're excited. We really appreciate you for following us and tracking the Trojans with us today. Hey, real quick, one last thing. We are in the middle of our fall fundraising campaign that we do through Front Rush. Front Rush is the program that we use to handle all of our compliance stuff. They have a really cool feature that allows us to raise money as well. Basically, we give a lot of phone numbers. It shoots out a bunch of texts, and then people can give directly through their phones. Super easy for us, super easy for everyone else. And if people don't want to give, all they have to do is click stop or type in stop and hit send, and it's over. We do truly want everyone to come alongside us and join us throughout this season in a way of giving. We are raising money so that we can have more javelins, more poles, an indoor weight for the women, indoor shots for the women as well. We need more outdoor stuff. We need women's hammers. We are additionally raising money so that we can travel to some of these big meets that we go to, like the ones in New York and then the ones also in California this year. We try to give our athletes every opportunity to succeed and compete against the best, along with having an incredible NCAA student athlete experience. So please, we ask you to join alongside of us as we go through this season. A great way to do that is through giving. If you haven't received anything from anyone on the team, feel free to email me at aselby@treveca.edu and I can shoot you a link. I promise, $5, $10, it goes a long way. And with as many names and phone numbers as we've put into the program so far, if everybody just gave us $10, we'd be in pretty good shape. So please, feel free to reach out to me, and we thank you so much in advance.